So on Fridays at Youth, we've been doing a series called Own It, which is all about taking ownership of your faith. So that's what I'm going to talk a bit about tonight. But before I do that, I'm going to play a video.
Something's missing. I'm a good person, right? I grew up in church, and my parents always taught that going to church was the right thing to do. You know, everyone needs a church that they go to on a free weekend or during the holidays, but something's missing. I mean, my parents are proud when I call them and I tell them I went to church. I like feeling good during service, and the people here are pretty nice too. I even stand when we sing and sometimes try to sing along, but I'm not crazy about it. Last week I gave some money, and when the pastor said something cool, I even posted it to Facebook. But I feel like something's missing. I see how committed other people are, and I see how real their faith is to them, and I don't have that. I mean, I'm a good person, right? I'm saved by grace. But everyone understands. I have my own things to deal with right now. Something's missing. Thank you, Lord, that there is more. Lord, forgive me as I have not been serious about my faith. I have prioritized my calendar, my friends, and my career over my relationship with you. I have been selfish, lazy, and unfaithful, and yet you have showered me undeservingly with grace, love, and mercy. I have put you in a Sunday box versus putting you in every aspect of my life. I have used my faith as a decoration or accessory versus a lifestyle. You deserve so much more from me. Lord, help me to own my faith. We were created to know God. We were given a mission to be the church, to represent the love of Christ to the world. We must own our faith. Ownership means commitment. Ownership means building your schedule and priorities around something you care about. Ownership means thinking about the greater good. Ownership means making a home. Ownership means reaching out to the new people and making sure they don't fall through the cracks. Ownership means working hard to be better so that we are better. Let's own our faith. Let's spend time with God, let's develop intimacy with God, and let's grow in our relationship and dependence on God. Let's own our Sundays, let's be here, let's be others focused, let's be engaged and involved. Let's own our relationships. We were created to live within a community. Let's care for those people, let's share life with those people. Let's own our gifts. Let's give back to God what He has blessed us with, and let's work to build His church. And then lastly, let's own our outreach. Jesus has loved and cherished us undeservingly. Let's take that gospel to the world and be a light in a dark place. Let's love as Jesus has loved. Let's take ownership of our faith.
Awesome. How good was that? So today I'm going to be reading from Mark 6, 7 to 13, which is Jesus sending out his disciples. And so he'd called them together, and now it was time to send them out. But before I start, sometimes we get stuck in the called stage. You know you're called by God. You know that you've got a plan, you know that you get a purpose, maybe opportunities present themselves for you to go out, for you to make a difference in the world, but we get stuck, and we don't make that step, we don't take that opportunity to go out, to be an example, to preach the gospel, to do what we're called to do. And I know so many Christians over the years who have all the talent in the world. They've got a massive and huge call on their life, but and I believe it is a choice. They choose not to take that step. They choose not to step into it. And I don't want any of you guys to be like that. Maybe after tonight I can inspire you to step out. But I'm going to read from Mark 6, 7 to 13. And it goes like this. Calling the 12 to him, he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that meant that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. So just keep the scripture in mind as I carry on. But have you all, any of you been in a situation where you knew you should do something or you got told to do something and you didn't do it? Anyone here? Lots of people. I'm not talking about the time where maybe for you young people, your mum or your dad told you to do the dishes and you said, yeah, but nah, it didn't happen. Or maybe you said you were going to do your homework and you're in your bedroom and your parents were sure that you were doing your homework, but really you were just on Facebook scrolling or Instagram. Or maybe husbands out there, I'm a husband, maybe your wife told you to do something, like mow the lawns or help out around the house, and maybe you disobeyed their commands. Because really it is, when they ask you to do something, it's a command, like they're telling you, do it, they're not asking, all right? Tips for you young ones when you get older, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a time maybe where you got dared to do something. Has anyone been dared to do something before? A few people. I'll stop it. But who remembers primary school? And I talked a bit about this with the youth a few weeks ago. But we used to. I don't know. I can't speak on behalf of a girl, but as a guy, like it used to be. Like a crazy thing talking to a girl in primary school. It used to be like a big thing talking to a girl, and you were the man if you were talking to a girl. And you were like the alpha male if you talked to a girl. And I remember like being in groups and people would be like, oh, you should go and talk to that girl. I dare you. I dare you. And you were kind of like, there was that moment where you're like, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. But then you didn't do it, you know? Like that moment where you know you maybe should do it, but you're just standing there and you don't do it. But I think we all remember situations like that in primary school. And I'm going to quickly head back to the story and just think about the disciples when they got called and sent out by Jesus. You know, they had seen Jesus perform these miracles and do these amazing things. And the disciples were full of faith. They were just full of faith. It says they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. They were full of faith. You know, Jesus had empowered them and they saw many miracles. But there was this one moment, this moment where the disciples encountered a man whose son couldn't talk and was possessed by a demon. Now remember what the disciples had seen. Many miracles take place. They'd had moments where they were full of faith. But in this moment, the father of the son ran to Jesus and said, I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. And I don't know what the disciples were feeling in that moment or in that time, but it is crazy how in one moment you can be full of faith. Have you ever had a moment in your life where you're just full of faith and you feel like you can do anything? A moment where, you know, even these disciples, they'd seen so much and you'd expect them to be full of faith all the time. But it's funny how a certain situation can cripple you. It can seize you. It can overwhelm you. And all of a sudden, you're not putting your trust in God, you're not putting your trust in Jesus, but you're falling in fear, and you're letting fear overtake you. So what does faith look like for us? You know, I believe that faith is kind of like this. It's not being able to see, but trusting the one who can see. So I'm going to invite up Sam now. Sammy boy, maybe we can lift the screen up. Give it up for Sam, right? I think Sam's like the token, like if we need someone to come up on stage, Sam will do it. So, Joel, can you come up with the blindfold, please? How are you feeling, Sam?
Quite scared.
Are you feeling full of faith at the moment?
Not really.
Not really. Not really. All right, so what's going to happen, Sam, is I'm going to tell you to do something, and you're going to do it no matter what. Okay? Do you trust me?
Yep.
Yes, he trusts me. All right. Take 5 steps backwards. Do a 360 turn. Jump down and do a push-up. Do a push-up for us. 5 push-ups. Right, now stand up. Can you turn, do a quarter turn to your right? Take 1 step. Take another 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 little step. Take another little step. Take another little step. Now, don't move, because if you do, you'll fall off. All right, now back it up. A few more steps backwards. All right, now do a quarter turn to your left. Shuffle slightly to your right a little bit. Little step backwards. Little step backwards. Little step backwards. Little step backwards. All right. Fold your arms. Shuffle a little bit to your left. Can you turn slightly to your right, just a little bit? All right, now sit down. Hey! Give it up for Sam! All right, you can take your blindfold off now and take a seat. And take the chair with you. All right, give it up for Sam. Such a man of faith right there. But you see, in that moment, Sam had to put his trust in me, right? And I don't think he would have done that if he didn't know me. Like, if I was just some random dude telling you to come up on stage, he'd probably freak out. But because he knew me, because he was familiar with me, because he had built trust with me over the years, he had faith and trust in me, even though he couldn't see me in that moment. So God wants you to know his voice and to have faith in him, to trust in him. See, for whatever reason, in that moment, the disciples didn't put their hope and their trust in God. In that moment, they didn't rely on Jesus. In that moment, they let fear win. You know, owning your faith is about owning the moment. You know, our lives are full of moments, and sometimes people can plan ahead, and I like planning ahead. Well, actually, I don't like planning ahead. Why don't I say that? Some people like planning ahead, you know, a 5-year plan, 10-year plan. I'm not really into that, but some people are, and that's good. But I think sometimes we can miss the moment that's presented before us. You know, our lives are full of moments, full of opportunities, full of chances to talk to someone about God, to pray for someone. Take your opportunity. Own the moment, even at church. Will you take time out to make new people feel welcomed here at church? Will you pray for your friend in need? Will you come to church early to create a friendly atmosphere? Will you stay and help pack down after? Will you put your trust in God? Will you put him first? Will you make time for him in your day? Will you put your faith into action when an opportunity arises? Because it's sad to me seeing Christians who are inactive. So much potential in this room. Are you active? Are you taking your opportunity? There can be many things that stop us from taking ownership of our faith. And I've got a question here for you guys, and it's, what are you carrying? You see, when Jesus first sent out his disciples, he said, take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. Why did Jesus do this? You know, I believe that he wanted his disciples to rely on him, to lean on him, and to trust in him. The only thing that the disciples needed on their journey was to have faith that God would provide for their every need. Owning our faith is about laying down the things that have the potential to slow us down or stop us. And you know, Steph often comes home and she tells me stories. She's a teacher, by the way. And she tells me stories of her students at school and the things that she finds. She has found many moldy sandwiches in her lunchbox. Not her lunchbox, in lunchboxes that have been left around. Or like dirty and wet PE gear in her bag and like just stuff all over the cloak bay and not your bag, sorry, in the kids' bags. And it is disgusting. It is disgusting. And the thing is, we all carry around stuff with us in our lives and, you know, through our experiences, you know, certain attitudes that we carry around, relationships, our actions. But it is the condition of those things that determine whether they help us or hinder us. We cannot move forward into the things God has for us if we are carrying around moldy, stinky things in our backpacks. You know, sometimes it feels comfortable, you know, living in our old ways. We can be used to wearing the stained, holy items of clothing. You know, I lived in Napier for about a year and a half doing some youth work down there, and I had like no money at all. And I had some rugged clothes, and I had these fat pants. Do you guys know what fat pants are? Because I used to dress like, if you didn't know me, I used to dress like a wannabe gangster. Like, I used to wear my hat like on an angle backwards that way. Used to wear a singlet, like a basketball singlet and fat pants. And yeah, I used to wear league shorts with like a dress shirt. It was really weird. Yeah, I did. Cool, eh? But I had these fat pants and I had them for a long time, a very long time. And I was attached to them. You know how you buy clothes and even though they've passed their use by date, you still feel like you want to wear them because you're attached to them? I had that with these fat pants, and I used to wear them around and used to think I was pretty cool. They were like really floppy as well. They weren't the ones that were nice and tight and like shrinked up down the bottom. They were just fat all down my leg, and they were dirty and holy. And Steph would keep on telling me, just get rid of those fat pants. They're disgusting. Just get rid of those fat pants. I don't want to be around you when you're wearing those fat pants. Part of me thinks, like, how did I get Steph? Like, I don't even know. Anyway, I wouldn't let go of these fat pants, and I had them for a long time, and I was attached to them, and it came to the point where Steph had to grab them out of my drawer and grab a pair of scissors and literally just cut them apart so that I would never wore those fat pants ever again. And the thing is, laying things down can be uncomfortable. Laying things down can be hard. Laying things down can be tough. But I'm believing that tonight, some of you guys are going to leave and some stuff is just going to stay here. Some stuff is going to stay here. Maybe for you it is insecurity or fear or anxiety, a battle of the mind. Maybe it is a relationship or an addiction. Maybe it is just a negative thought life, complaining or jealousy. We cannot own our faith and step into what God has for us if we carry on lugging around the old. You know, the old is gone and the new has come. Forget about the former things, for my God is doing something new. And we've got to believe it. And I, before the, when I was writing this message, I really got the feeling that there were some older people here, and maybe you've lost your purpose. I feel like purpose gets preached a lot to our young people. You know, you've got to know your purpose for your life, and it's really cool, but I feel like there's some older people here, and you just feel like you've lost your purpose. You've lost your purpose, and I think that along our journey, along our Christian journey, we can carry so much, and we can almost take things with us, with our experiences and things that go on in our lives. But tonight, I want you guys to lay it all down, to say, God, I'm owning my faith tonight. I'm taking ownership of what I believe in, and I'm laying it down, because being a Christian, it's all about laying it down. Laying it down for God, you know, it's great sacrifice being a Christian and following God's calling. But I'm believing that tonight, some people are going to leave here and you're just going to leave some stuff behind. So maybe the band could come up and join me tonight. And maybe we could all stand up together. And how awesome is it that we're having a baptism service tonight and seeing some of our young people, the Martins, Luke and Elijah Martin, get baptized. And it's so inspiring seeing young people just making a stand and saying, you know what, God? I put my trust in you. And that's awesome. So as the band plays, and we've got a bit of time here, so I actually want to open up the altar. I want to open up the altar, and maybe there's some people here, like I said before, you've just got a lot going on. You're carrying a lot tonight. This is a place where you can lay it down. This is family. We're family here, and I'm believing that people are going to get set free. Lives will be set free tonight. So we're going to sing a song. And if that's you, if you feel like you need prayer for anything, you've just got like this feeling of fear, anxiety, just wherever you go, and you want to lay it down tonight, why don't you come up the front? Or maybe you just want to make a stand tonight. You just want to make a stand and say, God, I once was on fire for you. You know, I felt the call of God in my life, and I was just so passionate to follow your call, but over the years, life got busy. Things got tough, and I've kind of forgotten my desire, my calling. So if that's you as well, why don't you come up the front?